Our New Testament reading today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 and 16 through 18. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first offense, no one came in to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that though through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Hear the words of the Lord. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like that, like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all of my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven. But he was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's been said that parables are like fishing lures. They're full of attractive features like feathers and bright colors, and then at the end there's a sharp little barb. I like that. Okay, I don't like the barb part, except that it's necessary, isn't it? Sometimes we get taken in by the flashiness of words and the flashiness of colors and all of those things, and we're not quite ready for the barb, the hook, that piece that pulls us in. Today's scripture passage, this parable, sort of reflects that, doesn't it? It's just what we think would be the opposite. We would think a Pharisee, a person who studies and tries to teach others how to live like God asks us to live, would be the person that we're to emulate. But in this parable, it's different. Years ago, when I was teaching school, there was a group called Young Life. Has anybody heard of Young Life? Yes. Has anybody been in Young Life? Yahoo! Young Life is like a youth group on steroids. Is that a good way to explain it, those of you who know Young Life? It's a youth group. There's a junior high, middle school component, but I was working with high school kids. High school kids who met together every Thursday in the basement of a church. And I just so happened to be working with a club that had a very large high school. And so we would have 60 to 80 kids every Thursday night for a club. And one of the songs that these guys love to sing, oh, we would sing all the time, but the one that they love to sing was, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble." Do you know it? When I'm perfect in every way, I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. You know it. Imagine that with about 80 high school kids singing it. They were belting it out, and they loved that song. And what they didn't understand, I don't think, is that God asks us to be humble. God asks us to be humble, and yet it's so difficult. It's so difficult. Part of it, we just, as little kids, we're told how wonderful we are. And then we get to be teenagers. And fewer people tell us how wonderful we are as teenagers. And yet, it's one of my favorite groups to work with. Because while sometimes they appear just like this Pharisee, I have it all together and everybody thinks I'm cool. If you work with teenagers long enough, you know that if they trust you, they will tell you how scared they are most of the time. It's this kind of phenomenon that sometimes the teenagers that seem to have it the most together are the ones that are crumbling on the inside. And God knows that. God gave us this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector to remind us of that part of life. It doesn't matter what our job is in the world. What matters is our relationship with God. That's the most important part. So, we have this Pharisee. Think of it as a minister. And then you have a tax collector. At the time of Jesus, tax collectors were notable for collecting the money and skimming off a portion of it for themselves. And the longer they did it, and the more bold they felt, the more they would skim off the top. They had that reputation. And so, sort of, it's easy to understand why the Pharisee would use the tax collector as an example in front of God. Isn't that sometimes what we do? Yeah, I might really be bad, but I'm not nearly as bad as our neighbors who scream and yell at their kids all day. I'm not nearly as bad as the guy that fixed my car and charged me an arm and a leg and didn't fix anything. I may be bad, but I'm not as bad. As soon as we go down that road of comparing ourselves to each other, I just imagine God in the heavens going, "Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Here we go again. I have to explain to each and every one of you so that you understand. I'm not judging you according to your neighbors and how your neighbors act. I'm not judging you in relationship to everybody else. I'm not really judging you. I'm just trying to love you where you are and help you to see that the people around you are also loved completely by me." Thank goodness God is not the one who will listen to people complain about other people and say, "Oh, you may have a point there. I may need to look into that a little further." I don't believe that's who God is. I believe God is the one saying, "Oh, bless your heart. I know what you told me about that person you believe is true, but let me tell you, that is my child. That is my child whom I love beyond belief. I don't want to hear your words. this parable that tells us about life just so happens to be a Pharisee and a tax collector. But we can really put almost any two occupations in there. We can really put almost any two people in there. It's our drive to want to make ourselves better than what we really are and puff ourselves up beyond what we really can do. But God knows. God knows. In this parable, the Pharisee is like sort of a liberal interpretation, but they are observant to the Torah, and they read it all the time. In other words, it would be just like anyone we know who is constantly reading the Bible. I know as a minister I'm supposed to, but I don't read it nearly as much as I should. But I like to read the Bible. But they're also to make the Torah available to everyone. This was a time when not everybody could read. Not too much different from today, but a little bit. And they were there to interpret and to share the Bible messages, the things that had been told them. Tax collectors often were collaborators with the Romans, and everybody hates the Romans, right? It's like saying everybody hates UNC, right? You know, it's our big rivalry. Put your own in there. And we try to convince other people how much better our team is than that team, how much more sincere they are, how much more invested they are. And we try to deny the others. But we have to look to see what Jesus is telling us. What does Jesus believe about the Pharisee and the tax collector? Who does Jesus see when he sees a Pharisee and a tax collector? Does he see someone who may be skimming off the top? Does he see someone who is collecting taxes from people who really don't have the means to give? Or does he see someone and say, "That is my precious child. There is nothing they can do that will take my love away from them." As I read scripture, I know there are times when Jesus reminds us of what we're supposed to do instead of what we're doing. But I also know that Jesus sees our hearts, not just our deeds, and doesn't just judge us on our deeds, but looks at the condition of our heart. And on days when my heart isn't right, I believe God is there to say, "Here, let me help you." And by helping, God usually puts somebody in my path who reminds me of how wonderful life is. It might be a child. It might be somebody who is in the prison where I volunteer. It might be my neighbor who I've sort of misjudged because I was looking at them through my eyes and not God's eyes. I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. We also have to remember that this Pharisee and this tax collector were there. They were there to pray. They were there to pray. And I wonder if that's what Jesus wants us to remember. I don't know how it is in your prayer life. I was taught that wherever I was and whatever I was doing, I can talk to God. And that is a prayer. I find myself, usually, hopefully it's when I'm alone in my car, and hopefully it's not when somebody else is there, although that might have happened once or twice, that I talk out loud to God. "God, that view is magnificent." I believe that God wants us to remember, that Jesus wants us to remember that these people were there to pray. So, sometimes when we get to these parables, I think sometimes we want to say, okay, so which do you think you are? Are you a Pharisee or are you a tax collector? Because let's face it, there are good and bad to both people, right? Tax collectors cheated, Pharisees kind of lorded power. And yet, Pharisees also loved God, and this tax collector truly did as well, or he wouldn't have been there. I think maybe we're all a little bit of both. I think for every single one of us here, we have some Pharisee and we have some tax collector all inside of us. And probably some other characters too, because they kind of pop out. Sometimes when we least expect it. But there are times when all of us can act with some self-righteousness. Sometimes the phrase has been self-righteous indignation. In other words, I deserve to be this angry about this minor thing. Because let's face it, almost everything that faces us compared to God in the heavens is minor. We can be both. We can act with the self-righteousness of the Pharisee, and we can be inspired with the humility of the tax collector. I don't know when the last time you felt humble. I don't know when, well, clearly if you have children in your household, it's pretty often, isn't it? People in our households have ways of making us humble. In my household, it's this little brown dog who makes me humble, who reminds me that I'm not as smart as I think I am and that she will outfox me. We take all of that and we want to say that we're doing it so that we can make the world better. And yet, what comes from God is what is inside of us that reaches out in mercy and grace. We need to remember who we are. Number one, we're sinners. We're prisoners to our own self-righteousness. Number two, we fall prey to temptation, which divides humanity into groups, and we trust only ourselves. But above all, we are all beloved children of God. This is a parable about God, how God loves us, how God listens to our hearts and addresses our needs. So, quite honestly, we have nothing to complain or to claim and proclaim, not complain, except our dependence on God and God's mercy. There, by the grace of God, it humbles us and it reminds us that as we trust in God's mercy and not our own abilities, as we stand before God without excuse and without special pleading, without expectations, without claim on anything, except God's mercy. May that be our hope. May that be our hope today. May that be our hope tomorrow. May we teach that to those around us, not through our words, but through our actions. For these two men, my prayer is that eventually what we don't see in this pericope is that they both realize that I am a beloved child of God. May you hear those words as well. Amen.
and amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.